the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. As we approach our gospel reading this morning, I want to take a moment to reflect on the encounters that led up to what we just heard about. It seems important to remember that this is not the first time Jesus has told his disciples that he will be betrayed and handed over to death. The occurrence of Jesus walking through the Galilee with his disciples that we read today comes actually right after the transfiguration and the healing of a young boy. The transfiguration, this amazing God moment with Jesus and Peter and James and John, and they witness together God speaking to them, saying that God loves Jesus and to listen to Jesus. And then when poof, everything goes back to normal on the mountaintop, Jesus turns to Peter and James and John and tells them, don't talk about what happened until after his death and resurrection. The three disciples seem to forget what just happened, or maybe they remember it, and they huddle together to discuss what this might mean and why, after that experience with God, does Jesus have to go and die? Do they ask Jesus about it? No. Following the mountaintop God moment, Jesus and all the disciples then come to a boy who has an unclean spirit, whom Jesus heals. And then this is where we pick up the story today, as Jesus turns to the full group of disciples to explain that he will be betrayed and killed and rise again. And the disciples either A, don't like that idea because that's not the Messiah they wanted, and or B, don't know what to do with that information, so they do what all normal people do. They don't ask questions because they don't want to be the one who looks uninformed. We don't use the S word from the pulpit. And so what do they do when they don't want to ask questions and they don't want to talk about it? They change the topic, right? Let's talk about something else. Like, I don't know, who's the greatest among us, right? We just saw Elijah and Moses and God spoke to some of us. So who's going to be the greatest? Who is the most powerful among us? I mean, even if Jesus dies, somebody's got to continue on. So who are we looking at? Who's going to be the supreme leader? I don't know about you, but it kind of sounds like headlines in any newspaper or news channel, no matter which one you read, no matter whether they're talking about politics or the Olympics, or Dancing with the Stars, or Taylor Swift on tour. It is about who is the best. And they walk from Galilee to Capernaum while they're having this conversation amongst themselves. And I love this because this is like the most quintessential teacher moment. You know what's going on over there, and you just let them keep going. And you eventually sidle up, and Jesus says, well, what were you all arguing about on the way there? And the disciples do have the wherewithal to kind of be, I kind of see them being quiet and a little sheepish. Like, oh, God, probably weren't talking about what we should have been talking about now, were we, buddies? Huh? But Jesus knows exactly what they were talking about and knows exactly what they were discussing. And so he sits the disciples down and gives them another teaching: to be the greatest, to be the best, to be first. You have to be last. And not just that, you have to be servant to all. That is what greatness looks like. Jesus then tells them, he takes a child, and he says, to welcome a child is the same as welcoming Jesus. Now let's remember a child in the time of Jesus is very different than how we view children in our society today. Children in the time of Jesus had zero power, zero choice, zero control over their life. They had very little agency. And yet, this is exactly the person that Jesus uses as an example of himself and who we are supposed to serve. Not the great Roman emperor, not Herod the leader or the leaders in the temple. No, Jesus uses a person who is as close to invisible as he could find. A person who has no chance of power or fame or fortune. That is who Jesus tells the disciples to emulate and to welcome. Not exactly an easy lesson for the disciples to swallow after their long conversation about greatness. One commentator on this passage asked, if they had to choose justice and anonymity or injustice and fame, which would they choose? That's a serious question for the disciples, and I would say a pretty serious question for us today, especially in our day and age, especially where we live, in a city where film and television and sports greats live and work. If you had to choose justice and anonymity, or injustice and fame, which would you choose? The introverts all have their answer, but I think we all want to believe that we would take justice and anonymity. And hopefully, at the same time, we can also admit that we know for many that is quite a struggle, because our world constantly gives us the other message. We live in a world where being the greatest is admired, being an actor with an EGOT, Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony, or being the GOAT in your sport, greatest of all time. Yet our God, the very God that gathers us in this building today, the very God that gathers us online in front of our computers to be with us in a different format, God does not call us to that kind of fame and power and greatness. Rather, God calls us to greatness by extending grace to those who are mired in the injustices of our world. God calls us to greatness by extending care and love and compassion to people who we think don't even deserve it. Just as a child 2,000 years ago certainly was not deserving of such care or attention. Jesus, in his teaching, redirects the disciples. Do not focus on who is greatest. Rather, focus on practicing your faith. Focus on strengthening your faith. Focus on sharing your faith through your care for others. It's that basic. In our daily lives, it is not easy to redirect our minds from perfection or greatness or recognition or climbing the ladder, because such ideals are instilled at us from the earliest of ages. As we grow from being a child to an adult, we want to get the award. We want to be the line leader. We want to be the team captain. And those aren't bad things. But God calls us to greater things. And our faith calls us to try to focus on what is the greatest thing in our life, which is God. God and God's love that calls us to bring justice to our world, to bring God's mercy in caring for those who do not have what they need for daily existence. God's grace for us and for others when we feel called to judge or are judged. One way each and every one of us in our own way can deepen our faith is to be involved in the many ministries here at St. Cross. I'm going to guess that if I asked you, you probably could not name all the teachers who teach every Sunday in our Sunday school. Or if you haven't been to Laundry Love, you cannot name the volunteers who go and help those in need to get clean clothes. These disciples of God's love and grace and mercy, they don't engage in those ministries because they have a need for fame or power or to be the good person. They are not looking for accolades, queen of the Sunday school, or king of the hot dryer. Do you need a sheet with that? Mm-mm. These faithful ministers of God, they show up and they do this ministry as an act of faith. Steadfast, grace-filled, simple sharing of God's love. And these are just, they're two easy examples of how we share God's love and grace and mercy, not for our own gain, but because God called us to help others. These are just two examples of a group of people who have chosen justice and anonymity, at least for this one moment in time of their month or their week, when they serve others. Today's gospel challenges us to reflect, to pray, to listen, and then most of all, to act, where God is calling us to be ministers of God's justice through our care for one another. Today's gospel challenges us to reject worldly definitions of greatness, difficult though it may be. Jesus' example of physically placing a child in the middle of the disciples is a visceral reminder to us that the least and the dispossessed are God's most beloved. Those who exist in the margins are important in God's eyes, and we execute not only God's justice, but also God's love when we remember and act on this central truth. Amen.